This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
A former Twitter executive files a whistleblower complaint against the company. We'll discuss the allegations. And why the once booming IPO market is in a slump.
A lot of companies, their business models are predicated on low interest rates. And the idea that rates are now rising has impacted that business and impacted kind of their path to profitability.
Plus, why now could be a good time to get a head start on your holiday shopping. It's Tuesday, August 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Twitter's former head of security has filed a whistleblower complaint against the social media company, accusing it of failing to protect sensitive user data and lying about its security problems. Peter Zatko submitted the complaint last month to the Securities and Exchange Commission, according to a representative of Whistleblower Aid, an organization that helped file the claim. Our tech reporter Sarah Needleman says the complaint could complicate Twitter's battle with Elon Musk, who the company sued after he tried to pull out of a $44 billion deal to buy it.
Generally, the complaint alleges that Twitter has been very lax with its security and privacy processes and that it hasn't really been transparent with its process for calculating monetizable daily users, which is pretty significant because that's a big part of the legal battle between Elon Musk and Twitter. Basically, Mr. Zatko alleges that Twitter miscounts how it calculates fake and spam accounts. And that has been a key area of focus for Mr. Musk because he's alleged that Twitter, its estimate that it has less than 5% of its monetizable daily users are fake and spam accounts. He's saying that's not true. And now this complaint appears to be confirming that thesis.
Twitter says Zatko was fired for ineffective leadership and poor performance and said his complaint was, quote, riddled with inconsistencies and inaccuracies. The existence of the complaint was reported earlier by The Washington Post and CNN. A lawyer for Musk says they've issued a subpoena to Zatko. We'll have more on this story on our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing, tomorrow morning. The latest economic data points to a sharp global slowdown. New surveys show business activity in the U.S., Europe, and Japan fell in August. Part of the challenge is that higher prices are weakening consumer demand, and supply chains are still taking a hit from the war in Ukraine. Despite a strong labor market, the U.S. is facing headwinds from near-record high inflation, and Europe is struggling with a rise in energy prices amid uncertainty over the natural gas supply from Russia, especially heading into the colder fall and winter months. Intel has reached a $30 billion funding partnership with Brookfield Asset Management as it seeks to expand its chip-making capacity. Intel says it will fund 51% of the cost of building new chip facilities in Arizona and have a controlling stake in the financing vehicle that would own them. Brookfield will own the rest, and the companies will split the revenue from the factories. Our semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch says this form of financing has been done in areas like energy projects and telecommunications infrastructure, but is new in the chip-making world.
It's important for the industry because it opens up what could be a new pool of capital that others could use to grow their manufacturing too. And it comes at a time when a lot of people want chip makers to build new factories to address this ongoing shortage of chips that has crimped auto sales and the production of things like medical devices and appliances.
Macy's reported better-than-expected earnings for the second quarter, but also lowered its outlook. The retailer cited the risks of a steeper economic downturn and said consumers are spending less. It's also working through extra inventory. Macy's joined several other retailers, including Kohl's, who have recently revised their financial guidance. And the Biden administration is gearing up for a fall COVID-19 booster campaign set to launch in September with 175 million vaccine doses for states, pharmacies, and other vaccination sites. Drug makers are updating the vaccines to target the newest versions of the virus. The administration says vaccination sites can pre-order vaccines, which will be shipped after federal drug regulators review and give an expected authorization to the shots. But there are challenges ahead, including vaccine fatigue and new variants. But administration officials say they're hopeful the boosters will help head off a wave of serious illness and death in the fall and winter, when cases tend to increase as more people gather indoors. Coming up, what's behind a slowdown in IPOs this year and what it means for investors. That's after the break.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The once booming IPO market is in the middle of a slowdown. Late last year, hundreds of companies were preparing to go public. But now, a series of big factors, including inflation and rising interest rates, are putting the IPO market on track for its worst year in decades. Traditional IPOs have raised far below the average for this time of year. According to data from Dealogic, they've raised just $5.1 billion. In a typical year, they'd have raised around $33 billion by now. Joining me now with more on what's happening in the IPO market and what investors can expect in the months ahead is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Corey Driebusch. Hi, Corey. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So, Corey, before we get into what's happening now, let's talk about the IPO market not so long ago. Even late last year, it was booming, right?
Yes, we were seeing a lot of crazy IPOs even through fall of last year, although it was starting to look a little toppy. I think for me, when I remember, when looking back and knowing what we know now, was around Rivian's IPO, and that's an electric truck maker. And when it went public, it was valued at more than $70 billion. And by the end of the first day of trading, it was valued at more than Ford and about on the same level as General Motors. But we didn't see the stocks starting to sell off. These IPOs were still getting done, again, at big valuations. And then around late November of last year, that was when, if you might remember, that interest rates started going up. And it started to become clear that we're going to see a lot of interest rates rising. And the market started panicking a little bit. And the first stocks to go were these high growth, no profit companies. And that describes a lot of IPOs.
So now we have a lot of factors complicating the market, including pandemic recovery, a slowing economy, and the war in Ukraine. Corey, tell us some more about how all of those factors are impacting the IPO market right now.
Yeah, so obviously Russia's invasion of Ukraine and what that's done to energy prices, as well as just the instability, was a surprise to the market that no one expected. There's sky high inflation, and that changes consumer habits. So a lot of these consumer companies we expected to go in 2022 also are being impacted. And then rising interest rates, a lot of companies that were planning to go public, think of in the last decade, we've seen historically low interest rates. And a lot of companies, their business models are predicated on low interest rates. And the idea that rates are now rising has impacted that business and impacted kind of their path to profitability.
So tell us about some of the companies that are feeling this most acutely right now, that were planning to go public, and how they've been affected by all this.
Well, a lot of fintech companies are impacted. They've watched their publicly traded counterparts, and they've watched those stock prices go down by, say, 70%, 60%. So of course, they're going to be valued at a lower level. And one really good example of this has been Klarna Bank. That's a Sweden-based company that does kind of buy now, pay later services. If you're shopping online, you probably often see the option of pay with Klarna. But they were valued just about a year ago at over $45 billion. And then this summer, they needed to raise more money. And given how companies like PayPal were trading publicly, and just the idea that investors don't want to pay up anymore for that type of company and are a little bit more worried about profitability. So they did manage to raise $800 million, but they had to cut its valuation by 85% to $6.7 billion. That's a big cut, and they're not going public anytime soon, at least according to people I've spoken with.
Corey, is there any precedent in recent history for what we're seeing right now in the IPO markets?
So obviously the IPO market, there's historically times when that window opens and closes. That's not unusual to go through periods of when it's hot, everyone wants to go. When it's cold, everyone pulls back. But this is unusual in that it's been so long to be shut. When you think back in March 2020, when the world started shutting down because of the global pandemic, obviously, IPOs also shut down. But by June of 2020, things were reopening. We had a couple really big IPOs come, and that jump started the 18-month boom cycle of IPOs. So this is unusual in the sense that it's been so dead for so long.
So what does this all mean for investors right now?
Well, a lot of investors I spoke with don't necessarily want to get in on this market. They're seeing a lot of pain in their own portfolios, and they're not interested in taking a whole lot more risk going into the end of the year. But it is for smaller investors. IPOs tend to be a place where you can get some growth. Companies going public earlier is always a good thing. You want to get in before the company has gotten super profitable and grown so large. You want to get in that early stage so you can make more returns.
So what are the expectations for the next couple of months?
So yesterday I was speaking with a banker who even mentioned that they're seeing some green shoots, which is a positive. For instance, we're seeing some follow-on offerings or secondary stock sales of companies that are already public that want to sell more stock. We're seeing those go off and they're being treated very well by the market. Some of them are trading up. They're getting some interest from investors, which a couple months ago that wasn't happening. Also, there are certain companies that are determined to go public before the end of the year. And those like an Instacart, who has now used this time to become, to show some profitability. We've also seen like some spinoffs, like Mobileye, which is spinning off from Intel. That also is another company that's a mature company that wants to go public and believes that in this environment, according to people around that IPO, that they could do it. So there are some companies that want to go. And also the market is bouncing back a little bit. Yes, the NASDAQ composite is still down, I think, around 20% year to date, but it was down more than 30% year to date in June. So there's some improvement. So there's some hope that maybe in the final quarter of this year, we might see a couple IPOs. And then maybe that will set us up for 2023 to see some more resurgence.
That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Corey Driebusch. Corey, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, the holiday season is still months away, but stores are hoping you might be up for a little early gift shopping. Retailers are sitting on mountains of unsold inventory, and now many of them are offering surprisingly steep discounts. Prices for toys are down more than 8% from last year, and electronics are down more than 9%, according to Adobe. So how can you take advantage of these unusual sales? Wall Street Journal consumer trends reporter Rachel Wolf has been looking into it.
So anything that shoppers are worried about getting a particular make and model of, now could be a good time to buy because there is a confluence of good discounts and good availability. So if you have a particular model of TV or computer in mind, analysts say that you might want to go shopping right now. The things that you might be better off holding off on are like those hottest toys and games for this coming season. Retailers are likely to wait a little bit longer before discounting those because they think that they might get a better price later on.
You can hear more from Rachel on tomorrow's episode of our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.